Our second New Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Milk and Honey Teas is a company that produces funny t-shirts, mugs, tote bags, stickers, and the like. If you've ever been to Bull Zerk on Greenville, it's a similar kind of shop. And this week, they came out with a new t-shirt that in bold, right in the front, in the center, says the words, "Fix it, Jesus." Now, I would really like to have this shirt because there's an awful lot of things I would like Jesus to fix. In fact, I shared this with some of my female colleagues this week, and we got a kick out of coming up with a list of things that would be really great if Jesus could fix. I'll give you the top 10. Number one, people who stop at red lights in the far right lane and are not turning right. If you are one of these people, I am praying for you. Number two, the parking lot here at Highland Park United Methodist Church. I know you know what I'm talking about. Number three, pedestrians who don't pick up the pace when you stop your car for them to cross. It's just common decency. Pick up the hustle. Show a little hustle. Four, the elementary school drop-off line. Five, middle school awkwardness. Fix it, Jesus. Six, iPhones that always manage to be out of storage anytime you want to capture the perfect moment. Seven, people who don't hold the door for mothers carrying tiny children, a purse, a diaper bag, a sippy cup, a bottle, and a stroller. Eight, 40-degree weather in the month of April. Nine, people who click their pens incessantly in meetings. And 10, people who just aren't as inclusive as the rest of us. Fix it, Jesus. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love the story in Acts of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and not just because of the teleportation that happens at the end. Although, what's the deal with that? Did you notice? Why don't we get any details, and why can't we all be transported from place to place? I'll tell you what, if we could, then we could just about cut in half the list of our previously mentioned grievances. No more elementary school drop-off lines, no more parking lot issues here at the church, no more dealing with those of you who stop in the far right lane and are not turning right at a red light. But teleportation aside, I love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch because, full disclosure, it makes me feel pretty good about myself. Every time I've heard someone preach on this text, it almost always ends in a call for the church to be more inclusive. Here's a brief summary of how the sermon usually flows. The Ethiopian eunuch was an outsider. He was different. He was a foreigner who would have been denied access to the Jewish world, and he was also sexually different. I'll spare you the details, but if you don't know what a eunuch was, then I'll point your attention to Deuteronomy 23. The eunuch, in many ways, is the epitome of an outsider. In many ways, he represents all those people that the church wants to exclude. But then, along came someone progressive enough to see that there was room under the tent for this eunuch. Along came a good, open-minded Jew named Philip, who taught this poor outsider the scriptures, baptized him in the water, and welcomed him into our fellowship. And so, as it goes, we too should be less afraid of outsiders and be more inclusive. Now, I have to tell you, it seems that for a long time now, I have been advocating for the church to be more inclusive. I am a woman preacher, so I know a little something about what it means to be excluded or seen as less than or judged to be not as good. I've had my fair share of fighting for a bigger table, one where not only I could be included, but my other sisters as well. I've been to the Women's March. I've posted on my social media, and last year I was responsible for the women's retreat, which focused on a, wait for it, all-inclusive sisterhood. Half of my family are Mexican immigrants, so I've also spent a lot of time preaching and advocating for the foreigner, for folks like this Ethiopian eunuch who wasn't welcomed in the Jewish world because of his foreign status. I wrote my master's thesis on Malcolm X and the prophet Amos. I've been a part of my fair share of racial reconciliation groups, and last year I journeyed down to Austin to protest the bathroom bill. So yes, thank you, Jesus, for a story that will tell all the intolerant folks out there how important it is to be inclusive. I just don't understand people, especially church people, who don't want to welcome the outsider because they're different than them. They just need to read this story, don't they know? They just need to hear the sermon I always hear. This Ethiopian eunuch looked nothing like the people of the early church, and yet Philip, one of Jesus' own disciples, welcomed him under the fellowship of the tent. Now, doesn't everyone know that Philip is our model? He, like the rest of us nice progressive folk, he got it. He understood that it's our divine job to make the tent bigger so that everyone fits. Philip knew that it's our duty to extend our tent and stretch it so that we can include the marginalized, the less fortunate, and the minorities. You know, if I had to guess, Philip had been to his fair share of marches too. And I bet if he had had social media, he would have also posted about our need to be more inclusive. And it's just my guess, but I bet when he presided at the communion table, he also said, like someone else I know, "Come, the table has been set for us all." Ugh, if only those people would read this story. Jesus, fix it. Make everyone as inclusive as us. Would you? You know, sometimes it takes saying things out loud to hear how wrong they actually sound. If you didn't pick up on it, here's the problem with myself and many others who think of themselves as inclusive. We think somehow being inclusive is a virtue that stems from our kindness. But if you think about it, that just sounds an awful lot like allowing them to join us. Like we are judging another group of people to be worthy to be included in the tent. Inclusion in that sense is just a charity, a mercy that we extend to others. In the fifth grade, I didn't want to exclude anyone from my birthday party, so I invited the whole class. I extended the tent, so to speak. I was charitable when everyone else only invited the kids that were cool enough. But before I continue to praise myself, here's the thing. You see, I may judge others for excluding outsiders from the tent while I think it's my job to extend the tent so that they fit. But you see, either way, I am misguided because it's not my tent, it's God's tent. The kingdom of God is not something I own that I charitably extend invitations to so other people can come join. It's not my fifth grade party, it's not my tent, it's not mine. I don't own anything. It all belongs to God. If you're like me and pride yourself on inclusion, then it's likely that you read the story like this. Philip sought out the eunuch, the outsider, the one on the margins, and extended an invitation to him to know God. Like a good evangelist, he gave him a Bible and taught him what it all means. And then, because he didn't just preach inclusion, he actually practiced it. Philip welcomed the eunuch into the baptismal pool inside his very own church. Can you believe it? That's how we all should be. My friends, I have read the story this way, but I read it again this week. And here's how the story goes. The Spirit guided Philip to that road. He didn't take himself there. And the eunuch, who we thought didn't know God, was returning from Jerusalem because he had already gone there to worship God. Philip didn't give him a Bible. He already owned his own Bible. He was reading it. Sure, he needed some help translating a few things, but he knew that that good book was for him too. And finally, Philip did not extend an invitation to the eunuch to be baptized. No, in fact, they were in the middle of the wilderness where there should be no water, and it was the eunuch who spotted the sacrament. He was the one who had the eyes to see the water in the desert, and he already knew that those waters belonged to him too. So Philip, who assumed he had a charitable invitation to extend, learns that the invitation here is not for the eunuch, but for himself. It was an invitation to see what it looks like to seek after God. You see, this eunuch worshiped God despite his exclusion, despite the fact that everyone thought he was outside the tent, despite the fact that he didn't understand everything he read. So what if he had never been to seminary? He didn't care. He still wanted to know the God that belonged to him too. And this is what faith looks like. Despite all odds, we persist in our pursuit of God. So maybe what we need is the stranger to show us what this following Jesus thing is actually all about. Maybe we need the stranger because without them, we can't see the water in the desert. Maybe we need the outsider to show us the sacrament, the grace of God, because we are too blind to see it. So I ask you this morning, who is your eunuch? Who is the one that doesn't need your charity, but whom you need their vision? Do we need to open our doors to all people? Absolutely. Do we need to ensure that there are seats at the table for everyone? 100%. But my friends, let us be clear. It is not the case that God is not already present and at work in the lives of those who are outside our walls. So before we pat ourselves on the back for our charitable invitations, let us remember that there are invitations for us too. Who's to say that God didn't tell the eunuch while he was riding along the road to stop his chariot and invite this Jew who appeared out of nowhere inside so that he could learn from him? Who's to say God didn't tell the eunuch to invite Philip into the waters where he could partake in the sacrament too? Who is the excluded one in your midst that you think needs your charity, but instead has a gift for you? Who's the unexpected one in your midst that can see the water in your own desert? Amen.